All right, thank you very much. I have 6:02, I'm already 2 minutes late. I want to say first off, thank you very much for everybody coming out today. I think you're really going to enjoy what we have to present tonight. Just kind of going over what we have planned for tonight. Larry Wise, our ARUP team, and associated team members from there will present our plan as we have today. Present it to you. It should take 15-20 minutes for the presentation, and then we'll open it up for comments. And that comments is what we want from everybody here tonight. I hope you had the opportunity to look at some of the things that we had on the website that we posted already. It has changed even since then. I know they've been working on it pretty actively since our last couple of meetings. My name is Joe Washington. I'm the chairman of the advisory group. We have quite a few members of the advisory group here. We have Diane Victor, we have Chuck, we have Anna Pell was over here, Charlotte's here, there's Anna Pell's over there, Charlotte's here, Diane, Chuck, Michael's here, I didn't see you come in, Michael, and Nancy's here. Thank you.
We're all here.
Right, I think we all are here. So the city council appointed an advisory committee to go out and get input from the community to try and basically our charge was to get this plan put together, put a bow on it, and then take it back to council and get council's approval for a plan going forward. We've met a number of times and had a number of meetings, and ARUP has really presented us with a lot of things, and it's still evolving. We hope to have something to present in the near future, but we're not there yet. This is basically a presentation of the work to date, and we want to make sure that your opinions and your ideas are well represented, and we are headed in the right direction before we get too far down that road. First, I'd like to say thank you to the Yacht Club, Commodore Nancy, and Ross and Sandy for allowing us to be here tonight. It was very special for us to have a place to meet and do it right here in the city, so that was really neat for us. I'd like to first do a little housekeeping, and that would be that restrooms are right outside this door to the right and down the hall. All the ground rules on that. That the meeting tonight is being recorded. The audio of it is being recorded, and we will post that onto the city website as soon as that is physically possible to do, but in the next few, 3-4 days. So you can either, if you have neighbors or people who were unable to attend tonight that wanted to hear what happened and stuff like that, that will be posted. Also, this presentation, Larry will send this presentation, we'll get that posted up too. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Larry Wise, who is our maritime engineer on this project and who has been contracted through the CF grant to come up with this plan. Larry.
All right. Thank you, J.O., and I'll tell you up front, I'm not used to speaking in microphone, so if you can't hear me or I'm too loud, just wave one way or the other. Just wanted to start again echoing J.O. and saying thank you to the advisory committee members, to the Yacht Club for hosting us, and for everybody that's here for coming out to hear what we've got to tell you. I will say we had a meeting, a public input meeting last month, and I think the Jake, the kid from LaPorte that was on the voice TV show, was singing the same night. We didn't have quite this much turnout, so I appreciate everybody. So just to start out and give a little bit of background, I'll make a disclosure that I do have a little personal interest in this project. I'm a member here at the Yacht Club, and I've got two boys that are often out here on Shell Beach either sailing or generally causing trouble and throwing rocks and whatnot. So this is a project that has some, you know, near and dear to my heart. The status of this project, we started Looking at Nancy, I would guess it's probably been a little over 10 years ago now, initially developing some of the concepts and put together a report about 10 years ago. Nancy and J.O. and others pursued grant funding for a number of years and were finally able to get some grant funding to do the design on the project. So where we're at this state is we realized that the work that had been done 10 years ago was definitely out of date. It was pre-Ike. It doesn't necessarily reflect the current community. So we basically almost started from ground zero and wanted to develop what, you know, what the objectives for the project are, et cetera, and then build up from there. And we've done that process over the past approximately 2 months. And we've had several meetings with the advisory committee and one public meeting prior to that and gotten some good input back from people. And this is where we're at. So just to give you a quick outline of what we're going to do. First, I want to talk a little bit about what some of the physical settings, what some of the forces are on the shoreline here. And then go in and talk a little bit more about what the project objectives are. And then discuss the preferred shoreline protection alternative that's been identified by the committee and that we've developed. And then part of we wanted to not just look at the shoreline, which was really the emphasis of the project, but we want to look at the park as a whole and try and make this more of a community asset. Of course, it is a jewel of the community already, but we wanted to see how we could tie that in better with the overall community. So just to start out a little bit, talk about, as a civil engineer, we probably always talk about the topography of things first. Just wanted to make the point that this is color-coded elevation map. White areas are higher, green areas are lower. The white areas, of course, is LaPorte. That's not exactly the Himalayas, but it's a little bit higher than it is here in Shore Acres. What you really notice is that Shore Acres is sort of the low point in the shoreline between Red Bluff and Morgan's Point. So that presents some extra challenges, especially in hurricanes. And this is just zoomed in a little bit closer on the park. What you see, you can kind of know where the roads are, etc. What you see is it's really higher on the two ends and lowest in the middle near the fishing pier. So again, that has some effect. In terms of why we've gotten to the point where we're at, I'm sure everybody here probably realizes that Harris County and the Bay Area suffered a lot of subsidence over the last century. In this area, it's on the order of about 6, 7, 8 feet. So John's got some great slides later to show you that illustrate what the shoreline looked like back in 1920. It's quite different. Of course, we are very susceptible to storm surge and flooding. This is the new FEMA numbers on expected storm surge return periods or probability. So what this shows you is the new 100-year storm is about a 15-foot still water elevation storm surge. So. And that's gone up substantially from the prior estimate, which was closer to 11 feet. And everyone who's a homeowner is going to get hit by those new rains. I'm sure you're probably already aware of this, but we are definitely highly susceptible to that. And, of course, FEMA is in the process of updating the flood maps and updating what they call the V zones, the areas of high velocity, where we expect greater than 3 foot waves. And that's the green striped area here is areas where FEMA expects there would be a greater than 3 foot wave in that 100-year storm. So given a little bit of an overview, I gave a little bit at the beginning, but the current work that we're doing is funded by the Coastal Impact Assessment Program, which is a grant program funded through Department of Interior now, right? It's changed a couple of times, but it's focused on providing money to address coastal issues and specifically. And our current scope of work, we're really focused on developing a consensus plan. We want to get all the input that we can and make this a plan that everybody's happy with going forward. And part of the reason for that is because we have to get a permit for this, and we want to make sure that when we go into that permitting process that you know, we've taken into consideration everybody's views, and we've done the best that we can to accommodate everyone. We are going to obtain the Corps of Engineers permits, which is a long process. They're not the easiest group to work with. It usually takes about 6 to 12 months to get a permit from them, but we'll be doing that over the next several months. And then the last piece of it is we're going to develop full construction plans and specifications for this project. What is not covered in the current funding is the actual construction of the project. That means that the city still has to go out and seek new grants, other grants, and other funding sources to try and get this project funded. The construction funds are all going to be sought through grants. I think the city is going to try and minimize how much they have put in city coffers. And the work includes not just the shoreline itself, but we're also trying to look at the park as a whole and amenities in the park, et cetera. And I neglected to introduce it earlier, but part of our team, we have a landscape architect firm named SWA Group that's out of Houston here. John Cutler and Feng Yi are going to present some more later about the actual park part of this. As Joe mentioned, this plan is going to go to the City Council at the end of this. That's probably going to be sometime in mid-July timeframe. And we want to get full approval from the City Council. So that will be yet one more opportunity for people to come and voice their opinions on things. And any issues. And then lastly, once we get into that Corps of Engineers permit process, that process includes them sending out public notices to the community. So sometime in the next 12 months or so, you will get a notice in the mail that will show the plan and give you an address that you can write to and put your comments in writing. So again, one more opportunity for everybody to comment. So we worked with the committee to develop what the objectives for the project were, and these aren't necessarily in any particular order, but the first one, I think, was one that came across very clearly, is that Shell Beach is an asset that we want to preserve, and all uses of it. There's a lot of people using it for a lot of different uses. A lot of people fish along the shore and particularly off the pier, and part of our objectives is to preserve that, not impact that. And the third big one, I think, here is to preserve the views of the bay. We don't want to do something that's going to obstruct the view either from the road for the general public or for the homeowners. We want to create a durable structure to withstand at least Ike. So we've identified that being somewhere in the 50 to 100 year return period storm event that we're going to design to. We want to preserve access to the fishing pier and the boat ramp. Those are, of course, a different association from the city. And we want to consider other improvements to the park to make the park usable space and a greater asset to the city, including potentially some vegetation planting, walking path, and also talking about parking issues. We very clearly got the feedback that wetlands are not really something that is of interest. That was part of the plan 10 years ago, or one of the alternatives. And I think there's a lot of people that may still have that in their mind. Just to clarify, there's no proposal to build any wetlands off the shoreline any longer. However, we will, if possible, integrate in doing some oyster habitat restoration along the toe of the structure, and that'll be, of course, below the water line. It's an added benefit, and part of the reason for that is it helps us to attract grant money by being able to claim some ecological benefits. It's important that we tie in properly to the private properties, both on the north and south end of the project, and make sure there's nothing that we do that's going to cause any erosion on those properties. And then lastly, we had a discussion about to what extent was the purpose of this project to try to protect the upland homes and in order to do that, we would have to raise the elevation and build almost a dike-like structure, a levee-like structure. And it was made pretty clear that that was not one of the objectives that the city has. So that is also not part of the plan. Okay, so the base plan that we've come up with, and we're still developing, we're in about the 50% development stage. So we've got the concept, and we've got a preliminary layout. We're doing some adjustments and working some of the details still. But the basic elements of it are to protect Shell Beach, preserve Shell Beach, expand the length of it on the order of 50 to 100 feet. So this is not a major expansion. We're not going to create Sylvan Beach, but we are going to add a little bit to it. And create a rock riprap revetment along the remainder of the length from Shell Beach all the way to the north end of the city. And potentially integrate the oyster reef along the toe of the structure that I mentioned before. So this is a engineering cross section of the structure, and what we have is a bedding layer of smaller rock with large armor rock on top of it. And these rocks would be on the order of about a ton, between 3/4 and a ton and 2 tons each. So these are good-sized rocks. They're going to stay in place. They're designed to withstand those storm conditions. They're not the concrete riprap. They're not going to get blown out by the storm and thrown across the other side of Miramar.
So 3 foot minus, you're talking?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah. If you're familiar, we're probably using 1,500 or 2,200 pound gradation.
Very familiar. Thank you.
Yeah. That's a pretty substantial thick section because of those large rocks. That's about 5 foot thick. So again, this should be a structure that's much better able to withstand the storm. At the top end of the structure, we're going to match the existing grade at the park. So we're not going to elevate higher. We're not going to put this down any lower. We're basically going to match the top elevation of the park now. The slope of 3:1 is a little bit steeper than what's there now. I was a little surprised by that. I know when you look at it, it looks like it's already pretty steep, but when we got the survey results back, it's really pretty flat after that initial scarp at the top. And then the last thing to note is the toe of the structure is about 2 to 4 feet below the normal low tide line. And again, we're matching the existing elevations that are there now.
Larry, what's the reference? Geotextile.
Geotextile is a engineered fabric that we put underneath the rock.
It goes underneath everything,
and you'll never see that unless the rock is thrown off of it, which it shouldn't be. But it helps with settlement and distributes the load. And
is that like the Phillips road-based mat they've been using for years on roads?
Yeah, it's very similar. It would be a woven geotextile. Now, there's another product that they use that's actually a grid. It's like a plastic grid. We're just now getting our geotech results next week, so we'll see when we get those, but I don't think we're going to have to go to that extent. This is more of a fabric.
Would there be any that's basically good.
Well, that's a really good question. What we don't want to do fill to the extent we can, and two reasons for that. One, there's a permit issue if you start filling below the water line, although that can be done and we probably will have to in some places. But the other issue is when you try and put fill in the water and compact it, it's very difficult to do. So primarily we're going to excavate out all the concrete that's there now and get down to good native soils. And we may have to do a little bit of compaction underneath. Most revetments that I've done, we typically don't have to do that. And we'll assess that when we get the results.
Well,
we're going I'm sorry, I can't hear you over there. We are not targeting to do any reclamation. Again, if you try and move the shoreline out, it becomes a more of a permit issue, and it's also the general land office, the state owns the suburban land, so then you also get into issues with them. So there may be some areas, and we'll talk about the just north of the boat ramp, particularly where it gets very, very narrow, where we may, to a limited extent, expand out a little bit. This is just a picture of a revetment-type structure. Just to give you a sense of the size of rocks that we're talking about and what they look like. This is limestone. Most of the rock that's placed around here is limestone. There's two basic sources. One comes down the Mississippi River on barges from Missouri, and the other comes from quarries out in Texas. So we're going to transition a little bit now and talk more about how this revetment fits into the whole park lot, park, and also some of the other amenities that we're proposing. So I'll turn over to John now.
Great. Thank you, Larry. Thank you. Sort of to add to Larry's comments from a sort of truth in lending or experience nature, unfortunately, my family and I have been coming to the Houston Yacht Club since 1959, and we own property up in La Porte on the water in Sylvan, on Sylvan Street for about 27 years. So I am familiar with the territory and with Carla and Alicia, and we all are very familiar with it. This is an aerial.
Did you bring your point?
I did not.
Obviously, this is an aerial of shore acres, and we've got a couple images here of plans that I'd like to show you. One of the mantras is, as a consultant, you know, we need to know as much, or we need to know more about your neighborhood than you do, because otherwise, you know, why would you have us as a consultant, right? So you need to do your homework about places. Shore Acres, the land plan for Shore Acres was designed by a landscape architect named George Kessler, who was working out of Kansas City and St. Louis, actually sort of ended up in St. Louis. He was also the master plan, the landscape architect that master planned Herman Park. He also did the master plan, if you've seen North and South Boulevard and Broad Acres near Rice University and Herman Park. A very well-known landscape architect. We found this plan. I think perhaps the city has a copy of it, but this is the original marketing brochure, and the Texas Room down at Idelson Library in downtown Houston has two copies. Unfortunately, they're laminated in plastic, and it's a little hard without a more studio environment to get some photographs. But the bayfront, the hotel site, and the golf course is going to be here. Next slide. And there are a number of images, but this one particularly, the shoreline, which kind of gives you an indication of really the heights and the subsidence. I know from personal experience on our property at 214 Sylvan in the early 70s, we went down about 5 feet. And it was measurable over that very short period of time. A 1930 aerial, and this is actually before, where there's just a few houses under construction, and as a lot of Harris County, south of Buffalo Bayou, is mainly prairie, except along the drainage areas and bayous. But one of the, these are a few shots coming in from New 146 down to Old 146 or Broadway. We have some ideas about that. But one of the wonderful distinguishing factors of the city of Shore Acres is the colonnade, the double row of Canary Island palms from Broadway to the bay. And there are gaps in it, but it is, and there are some places where I could make an argument for you that we need to get rid of some of the tallow trees in the right-of-way, which would free up the visibility of that those beautiful row of trees. But it is a significant identifier and a community cultural asset, and you'll see that we hope to build with that on Miramar Park. There's some shots here just of existing conditions, which we're all familiar with. This is a key plan of just the existing conditions and the site locations of those photos. Fungi is going to go through the design elements with the revetment, and we're aware of, you know, the south of the pier, we have a much wider area, and to the north of the pier, the proximity of the revetment, the restoration, and the existing driveway, existing road, it gets narrow, and so we're taking that certainly into consideration. Thank you.
So let me go back a little bit before we actually looking at the plan. So this graphic is really, because I took a photo from floors, and what you see the picture here is actually each entrance to the park. And you may realize those photos are very identical, because at the end of each row, right now they all have a chair, a bench, on the park side, and near the bench there will be the palm trees. So I think someone already have this idea, kind of like putting chairs so people can actually resting on the side. So what we think, maybe we just want to formalize this idea. So we kind of like want to putting some what we call a vista point. That's the name that we gave to them, and we extending the road till the water side. And then we're gonna put chairs or shade structures on there, so people can actually sitting there and rest, meanwhile enjoying the bay view.
And a pedestrian connection rather than extending the road. Yeah.
So I know that there are a lot of people that this is your first time come here. I'll just there are some changes from last time when we had the public meeting. And I'll just directly introduce all the features that in the update plan, but I'll talk a little bit about what we have been presented from the last time and what kind of comments that we received and what changes that we made for this. So basically, you can see that. Maybe you can see here, there are like three big features that we want to put into the park. The first one is this trail that goes through the entire park. I'll have some more zoomed in pictures that you can see, but I'll just show you the entire graphic to show the big pictures right now. So we are going to put a 6 feet concrete trails on top of the development structure. Before we kind of proposed 8 feet, and we think that 8 feet is kind of like wider, and we want to, you know, shrink budget by doing the 6. Like right now, City of Houston, kind of like they have the standard for a very comfortable street sidewalk. They allow people to do a 6 feet pedestrian sidewalk, and that's already a very comfortable experience. So I think that maybe 6 feet instead of 8 feet would be enough for people to ride along the waterside on top of the revetment. So the second feature is I've been saying that we want to extend it two roads here. One is on Shady Long Road, and the other one is then at the other end of the park, that's Meadow Long Road. And we're extending this road directly to the water, and we
It's a six foot walk.
Yes, it's a 6 sidewalk, like a connect road to the trail. And what we call that vista structure is actually a super step, actually bring you down to the water, near the water level. Before we kind of propose a big structure that overhanging on top of the development, that's like 9 feet higher than the water level.